What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutavi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Swangled
and were locked in.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or YouTube, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much for checking us out. We know you have a lot of options out there. We couldn't do the show without the amazing support of our sponsors. Chemical Free Body has been wonderful to us. Tim James, the owner, put me on the gut and toxin detox program for about 90 days, and the results were fantastic. He gave me the Green 85 powder, gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, and ultra enzymes. So if you are interested in taking a look at that package or what that might mean, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro, or when you're checking out, you can just use the promo code macro. You got to take control of your health. It is one thing that we do have the power to change. So don't wait any longer. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and take a look. Also, I'll tell you, man, after going through 2020, we learned the hard way that you need to be prepared. So get yourself prepared for what could be coming, supply chain breakdowns, all those things. My Patriot Supply has been a fantastic partner for us. They have created a website specifically for the show, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, that you can find emergency survival food. They've got water filtration devices. They have air purification. They have all kinds of things. Take a look. Just go through and start thinking about these things. If you like these sorts of shows and this type of content, and you know that we're up against some real evil people out there that have designs on changing the world, we saw what can happen with a supply chain breakdown. Look, get prepared wherever you need to. If it's Costco or someplace else, start stocking up. Be proactive, not reactive. And if you want to, you can go check out preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and they have it set up. You can get $100 off of a 4-week supply of food. What's the worst that can happen? You've got extra food. You're prepped. You're ready to go. And yes, of course, we do owe the preppers a bit of an apology. So thank you to My Patriot Supply for getting us hooked up. And well, I'll tell you what, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Clint's show, Liberty Lockdown. We had such a great conversation that we could have kept going, and we decided, hey, let's just move this conversation from your podcast to my podcast. So Clint, how are you doing? Good to see you again.
You too, man. I'm doing great. Still nervous about the tumultuous times we're in, but I'm happy otherwise.
Yeah. And you're in the epicenter of it all in Southern California, where a lot of this madness has been magnified. So we're over a year into this. has it changed? Has it migrated? Is it getting better? Are the restrictions making any, they never made any sense, but are they starting to make sense, or are they as inconsistent as they were right from the beginning?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't get a little bit better here. We have many of the restaurants are starting to reopen. Unfortunately, masks are mandated pretty much everywhere you go indoors still, not pretty much, absolutely everywhere, even in the gym. So that to me is probably the hardest part about living here and why I'm fleeing. I think the hardest part about it is while the restrictions have been lifted slightly, it's that the people have really accepted their fate, and that there's not even conversations about protesting the masks at this point. You know, when we first started this last summer, there was at least little protests here and there, and now it's just sheep life. No one fights at all.
What an embarrassment too. California, and I'm from there. It has this vibe, you know, this, you know, laid back, it's not New York where everyone's busy and uptight and doing their own thing. California's got, it's just a different vibe. I would have thought that maybe there would be more pushback in Southern California, especially. But it seems like the combination of the guys like, Gavin Newsom, who is, if he's not the American psycho, I don't know who is. Eric Garcetti in Los Angeles threatening to turn the water off on businesses that open up. I mean, this is some authoritarian shit, and yet it's being normalized. And what, like you said, like the most disgusting part about it, besides this massive government overreach, is the lack of a backbone from the population. And I feel like maybe, it takes me back to the document that somebody showed me about from the KGB talking about how if you bombard people with constant fear for 60 days, after that period is over, you then show them information to the contrary, documented, backed up with evidence, and it won't change their mind. And so I wonder, these lockdowns, it seems like it was just like a conditioning program, almost like an experiment to see how we would respond. And everyone's got a little different response, but it's been disappointing to see that from Southern California, really.
Well, what I noticed was, because last summer there was some protests. You probably saw them on the news. There was some
Huntington big, Beach.
Yeah, Orange County area. And unfortunately, it took on a very partisan tone. So like you would see, this was when Trump was still president, so you would have it was like kind of like a MAGA rally. And yeah, as someone who wasn't a big Trump supporter, but was very opposed to the lockdowns, I still went to some of these lockdowns, and it was primarily Trump supporters that were out there. So it became very partisan, and what the media did, which was brilliant and completely expected, but unexpected that it was so successful in its tactic, was that they labeled anyone that was out on the street protesting for Black Lives Matter a hero, and anyone that was out protesting the lockdowns a racist. Right. And even though that obviously holds no merit, I mean, it's totally nonsensical, it still managed to sway and persuade and kind of scare off some of the people that were willing to protest the lockdowns, because they're just like, in this environment, particularly, people have to remember that feeling back then. That feeling was like, you were either with Black Lives Matter or you were a racist. Like, that's right. That's as simple as it got. So I think that was enough. You know, they just told people, well, if you're on the streets and you're protesting and it's not about Black Lives Matter, you're a racist. So everyone stayed home. And now we're, 8 months past those last protests. And I just don't see any energy to get it going again. My hope is that if they don't lift the lockdowns in California by the end of June, which is Gavin Newsom's latest promise, I think that hopefully some people will start to protest again. But truthfully, I'm out of here in July, so I've kind of disconnected my soul from this place.
Yeah, what a shame too. And they've also done something really interesting, and they've tied the mask wearing or the lack of the non-mask wearing to Republicans. They say, well, so I wear a mask so that people don't think I'm a Republican. What an unbelievably ignorant thing to say or even think, really. But once again, back to this social conditioning. I mean, these guys have got us figured out. I mean, they understand how a pack mentality and how you can shift the herd with some little, you know, small little provocations. And of course, the complicit mainstream horror media that is nothing but there to continue to manufacture consent and skew reality. So especially if you're in a more liberal place like California, which is almost always Democratic, right. You start to see, well, I don't want to be associated with anything resembling Trump or the Republican Party. So I'll wear my mask, not because of science, not because of consideration for other people, not because of any of that, simply because I don't want people to think that I like Donald Trump. Like,
exactly. Even people that have been vaccinated are still wearing the mask. I mean, right? Just because they're so concerned with appearance. And for me, that's remarkable, because as someone who's not interested in the duopoly whatsoever, I'm like, I'm not doing anything for appearances. Like, if I'm wearing the mask, it's to protect myself or others. If I'm not wearing the mask, it's because I don't think it's necessary, because I don't think it's efficacious. Or it's because they've mandated it and I oppose it on principle, so right. I won't do it for that reason. But yeah, people are, I mean, it's just amazing that the accusations of being a Trump supporter or being a racist still hold water after the past 4 years. It's like, do you not see the game here? Do you not see that this is obviously an empty accusation? It's just, it's amazing, but it still holds sway over people.
Yeah. Yeah. The power of the mainstream media. I mean, we, and now it's turned into this, what can best be described as just disgusting virtue signaling about your vaccination status, which right. by the way, should be private. It's a medical thing. It should be nobody's business. But the, you know, I got, you know, not just I got my Fauci ouchie, but now it's like, look at this cool tattoo I got of the Moderna logo. And you're like, oh, you know, Lord. Like, but the media, you know, holds this out as like, you're a good little citizen. Continue to do it. So the vaccine virtue signaling kind of goes hand in hand with this, and it is disgusting on its face.
Well, and I think another point that should be noted is that in Biden's do you know the name of the bill? It's like Build America Better or whatever. I don't know. It's the newest $4 trillion bill on top of everything else that we've printed over the past.
It's hard
year.
To keep track of them all.
I know. I can't remember the name of it. Anyways, it included in it $3 or $4 billion for marketing the vaccine to Americans. And I strongly suspect that some of those viral videos that we've seen as of late that are on TikTok, where it's like that soulless white lady who's singing like like some cover song to Lady Gaga, but it's all about like Pfizer or whatever her preferred brand is. I think that there's a good chance that our tax money is actually going to fund these people to create viral content.
100%, man. I am with you. I think that, I mean, we saw them do this for, you know, the Syria stuff and the beheading videos, and they'd fake all that. So why wouldn't they fake, social media content, social media videos. And on top of that, now you have influencers, Instagram influencers and people like that coming forward and saying, hey, listen, just so you know, I was approached and they offered me $2,000 to do a video about this sort of thing. So it's like, that is incongruent with reality. If you're facing an actual deadly pandemic, it should not need a marketing push. It should just be evident on its face. And yet here we are having to incentivize people and use Madison Avenue and the social media companies to get a message across. It just seems completely forced.
Yeah, well, and it's brilliant because it comes across as organic if you're not privy, you know, because you think that it's just some person with 50,000 followers on TikTok, which is like a pretty common thing. So many people have that. And they put out some catchy video that's singing about Pfizer, Moderna, or whatever. And people share it. And what's really brilliant about it is that you will get the same amount of shares from people that support it as you will from people that are appalled by it.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter because it's still virality. It, as long as you get it to enough eyes, that's a huge, I mean, you pay $2,000 to these idiot influencers and all of a sudden you have 10 million people that have seen this stupid video. It's like, this is the cheapest, most brilliant marketing campaign I've ever seen if we're correct that that's what's occurring. And I think we are.
Yeah, I think we are too. I think we're right about that. I wonder what the angle was for all of these dancing nurse videos last summer. Mm. You know, those made people same thing.
Yep.
People shared them because they liked them. People shared them because they hated them. But it doesn't matter. People still shared it. It's like when it's like Howard Stern, you know, when he would say, you know, people that love me listen for an hour and a half and people that hate me listen for 2.5 hours. You know, it's like, right. It's like either way you win. And so the nurse videos to me, I really just wanted to shake the shit out of people and just go, they're mocking you. They don't do this if there's not, you know, ample time. And then I started thinking, there's so many of these. Are they organic at all? I mean, or are they being made by some company who makes, I mean, we don't know if these are doctors, nurses. We don't know if it's really in a hospital. We don't know the context of it. And since everything is so fake these days, you have a hard time knowing. I just wonder what the angle was on that.
That's a tough question. I mean, I think that in that period, there was like this real big push to be referential and kind of like, just so grateful to the, you know, first frontline workers, they kept saying. I have a brother who's a paramedic in San Francisco, so I am a fan of the frontline workers. I think that what they do is important work, but it was such an interesting tactic because it really, for someone who had been locked in their house for 6 months at the time, I was not pleased to see that people are dancing and, you know, having a good time. Well, our lives have been ruined outside there, and they were delivering it in a way that I was supposed to be appreciative of, like, oh, look how cute this is, and these people are such heroes, and I was like, get the fuck to work,
right?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I think it made like the average person go, oh, that's cute. Wait, aren't you guys supposed to be busy? What do you do? You have all this time to make these ridiculous choreographed dance videos and pretend like you're rowing a boat as you're in. And we're supposed to like you. I made a comment. I mean, I made this a couple times, but it was sort of a, it was a prediction, but it was kind of based on the trajectory of things. And that is like, when you go to the airport and you're getting on a plane and you're out in waiting to get on, they'll make the announcement that, you know, any families traveling with children under 2 years old that need or handicapped people that want to board early, active duty military. And I thought, you know what, at some point they're going to say frontline workers, doctors, nurses, things like that, in an effort to put them on a pedestal and put them and to elevate them into a higher status, so that because, not just because everyone is appreciative for what they do, but because those will be the people that are delivering the vaccines to you. And that if you put them up on a pedestal, it's much harder for you to say no to them because they have a much different status in your mind. And so
that's a great idea.
In order to say no, you know, and of course it hasn't happened yet with the airplane thing, but I still think it could. But either way, the promotion of the frontline workers and the, you know, clap for NHS at 8 o'clock every night in the UK and the singing from their balconies and all that bullshit, it to me, it was like very staged, very inorganic,
right?
Inauthentic, and it seemed like there was a reason for it. Like we were celebrating these heroes, and I thought, well, that's nice. And yes, they're out working hard, and but that's their job, and that's what they do. But it to me, I always felt like there was some ulterior motive. That might be just the conspiratorial component of my brain, which takes up most of it.
Let me add some fuel to that fire, please. There, because I think that it's very similar to, particularly in the olden times when we were much more pro-war in America, we would deify and uplift our soldiers when they came home, and we would throw parades and things like that. It makes a lot of sense, because if you listen to Biden talking about, you know, we're on a war footing to address this virus, we will do anything necessary, we're pulling out all the stops, we'll print whatever it takes, we'll muster whatever resources. What's that?
We'll shoot the virus. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what they really mean is they'll shoot the people that don't want to get the vaccine,
right?
What it sounds like. But I think that's along the same, you know, mind space, where it's like, we're going to deify these people so that then you feel a sense of appreciation, so that you can't reject anything that's done in their name. So like, if are you not going to get the vaccine? Do you not appreciate the sacrifices that our frontline workers made? Are you really going to add to the burden on the healthcare system? Like, there's some logic there. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, they're going to guilt trip us into taking a vaccine that hasn't been approved by the FDA, hasn't cleared stage three approvals. It's been rushed to market, no product liability. I mean, you have to convince people to do it. You have to pressure them in, because if you appealed to them purely on logic, there would be very few takers. But if you appeal to them on emotion, you've got a better chance. And if you appeal to them on emotion plus guilt, then you create a situation where somebody that isn't, you know, maybe on the fence about what, do I take it, do I not, I don't really know, they're not going to be as entrenched in their position to really defend it. Whereas, you know, you can kind of manipulate them. And of course, now we have like you said, the $3 billion set aside in this new budget that Biden's talking about for pushing vaccine, to push education to remove vaccine hesitancy. It's like, frankly, shouldn't that be Big Pharma paying that money? I mean, they're the ones making the profit. So
exactly.
You get the government to mandate it, basically. You get the government to pay for the marketing for it. You get the mainstream media to give you a $1 trillion of free advertising over the life of this thing.
Right.
And then you make all the money and you have no downside, no product liability risk, and you rushed it to market, basically. I mean, Jesus, the Big Pharma is just going to be printing money at this point.
Oh, and I don't know the details, but they definitely included in the original pandemic bills some just grants to these pharma companies to make these vaccines. So like they didn't have to pay for their research for the most part, it seems like, or at least they got a big chunk of it subsidized. And now they don't have to pay for their marketing budget and they don't have any liability. It's just like, it's a blank check to these guys. I mean, I used to think that big tech really had the biggest hold over our politicians. Mm-hmm. After the past year, I'm fairly convinced that it's Big Pharma that really, really runs the show, man. It's amazing.
I think you're right. I made a comment in my Octopus book talking about mandating vaccines, you know, like 76 vaccines mandatory, you know, on the CDC schedule. And I said, you know, if the government made my book mandatory, that you had to buy 78 copies of it, what would my incentive be to make the book very good? It'd be like 300 pages of dick jokes and that would be it. I would have no incentive to put out a high quality product because I know that the people are mandated to buy it. So it even there, it just kind of, it creates the possibility that, it creates the possibility that you could get a flawed product, especially when there's no real repercussions from an illegal standpoint, which means financial standpoint. And not only that, you're being forced into it. I mean, what a great business model. That, if you're Big Pharma, man, you can't heads I win, tails you lose. I mean, it's impossible.
It's the best setup ever. And I think that what's really interesting and what should be the most concerning factor in all this is that you have a big percentage of the frontline workers, of nurses and doctors, that are unwilling to get this vaccine to go back to work. I think that is unbelievably damning, because if you are to believe that this has been such a catastrophic, cataclysmic event, you just witnessed a half a million people of your fellow Americans die in front of you firsthand. You're a doctor, you're a nurse on the front line, you know, and you have a medical background to evaluate the efficacy of things. And you can read medical papers, most of them, so you can actually do your own research. And still, after all of that, you have some significant percentage. I think I read it was 30 or 40% of people that were unwilling to go and get the vaccine to go back to work at their hospitals. And I just think that's incredible.
That is a really telling statistic. Also, we're seeing that in the military. We're seeing a lot of active duty military, especially in the Marines, saying, no, thank you, we're good. I didn't think they had a choice. I thought that they were sort of mandated to do it.
Especially in the military.
Yeah, it came as a surprise to me that they were even given the opportunity to turn it down. But yeah, what does that tell you? That tells you that it tells you that the doctors and nurses that are on the front lines are seeing something. They're either seeing it not being that big of a deal, not at least not proportionate to the way the media is playing it out to be. They're seeing that people can get healthy on their own without any of this stuff, or they're seeing the side effects of the vaccines too. And I've wondered about this. I know that they're going to be dangerous. I know that the mRNA technology is totally untested. And when they did it in animals, it killed all of them. And so that's a bad thing. And yet not everybody that's taken the shot is dead from it, obviously. So it made me think. And made
so far.
Me, well, yeah, right. Yet not yet. I mean, there's still time. You know, so we maybe should have this conversation at the end of the year and see how things play out. But it made me think that if you were in, you know, if you were an evil genius trying to roll this program out, one of the things you might, and you knew it was going to be extremely deadly, one of the things you might do is put a bunch of placebos out there and not flood the market with actual vaccines, but maybe do 20% real or 20% of the mRNA vaccines, 80% placebos, and then you wouldn't see a massive die off of people, but then you keep them in the loop where you just keep vaccinating them every year. And then every year you sort of increase that, the amount of real vaccines. That's, once again, that's just my speculation that something like that could happen. But you probably
heard the story that there was some people, I don't know if it was CVS or where it was, but that they accidentally were giving saline injections.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I don't know. You might be onto something.
Maybe. I know Anthony Hopkins got the old fake injection with the nurse squirting out the contents right out the window of the car. I mean, that was caught on video and is as blatant as it can be. I feel like sometimes they're just fucking with us, you know, like sometimes they're just, they just want to see if we'll catch this. And because when you see that, you're like, it's right there in front of your face. You know, of course it could be edited and who knows.
I think wasn't it Kamala that got one that they had like the really close up and it looked like it, like the syringe was empty. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah. I mean, there's just so much stuff that I mean, I have never really felt like I was a conspiracy theorist until this past year. And now I'm just like, what the hell is going on? I really don't know.
It is not a bad thing to be suspicious of these people. They have given us every right to be suspicious of them. And now one of the things that I've been seeing that's starting to get a little bit of traction, and it's kind of interesting, is Nuremberg 2.0. Have you heard about that?
I hope I know where you're going with this, but no, I do not.
Yeah, Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich, a German guy, is taking this. He's got thousands of doctors and lawyers with him, backing him up, and he has now submitted this into the Canadian courts, have accepted it. And I don't know, I'll be clear, I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand all of the processes, but what I read about it was it was in this note, it said that if the Canadian courts accepted this, that it somehow meant that other nations' courts had to accept it as well. I don't know why that is, but that's what I read. Anyway, he is pushing to have
war crime trials.
Yeah, he's pushing for Nuremberg trials on this. Yes. and with the guilty punished by death according to the Nuremberg code.
And
he reminds people that after World War II, established members of the media were put to death as well for their role in this. And he has pushed this thing out. He's got a pretty good campaign behind him. I'm interested to see where it goes, if it gains any traction, or if this guy winds up, you know, blowing up in a plane at some point. Yeah,
exactly. I would not take any small aircraft in the near future for that dude. Right. That's fascinating, man. Cause I really think that, and I've said this from the very early on, is that the people that are leading us down this really destructive path, if they aren't held responsible, very similar to the war in Iraq, it's like, if you don't hold the neocons responsible, if you don't hold the doomsday cult that shut down the world over this relatively benign virus, there's no reason it won't happen again, and probably worse the next time. So we need punishment. And I'm a pretty non, you know, punishment oriented guy. I tend to not be interested in, like, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But when it comes to destroying the global economy and everybody's mental health, yeah, I think you deserve to pay a price. So
for sure, man, I hope that happens. If for no other reason, it sends a message that the people are not going to, they're not going to be tolerating this. We've been through enough already. And then and there's no end, and they keep moving the goalposts. And first it's 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And we were all screaming, it's not going to be 2 weeks.
Right.
It's going to be much more. People, you stop it, you conspiracy theorists. It's like, you know, look, I, I don't have a crystal ball. You don't have a crystal ball. We're not Nostradamus. We're not Karnak the Magnificent. We're not, right. We're not summoning spirits to give us this information. It's just patterns. This is what they do. They've done this for a long, long time. This is how they operate. They say that they're, first of all, they don't have a problem lying to us. So everyone kind of thinks, well, they're not going to, they said 2 weeks. They mean it. It's like, no, these people are liars. And so if we don't hold them accountable for this, like you said, on some level, we should expect and not be all that surprised when it happens again and again and again. Or in this case, it never ends, you know, because I feel like they have discovered something. And that is that medical martial law is far more effective than military martial law. You know, it has a much different component to it. Whereas the military, they put a tank on the corner and everyone hides in their house because they're scared to get shot, and or they know that the guards are going to tell them, get in your house. Now we've done it the different way. Now you're voluntarily locking yourself in your house. I mean, now there's mandates, of course, but a lot of people just figured, I'll go in just to be on the safe side. And that is just disturbing.
Well, and the reason it's so much easier to implement is because you don't even know that you're under martial law. You know, most people think that this is some sort of temporary emergency order, as opposed to if you had tanks on the corner by your house, you'd be like, oh shit, I need to start talking to my neighbors about what we're going to do to fight back at some point, because this is, it's obvious that we are being besieged. And now everyone, and the most dangerous part about it is that half of the people, if not more, think that this is a good thing, and that they will fight anybody who tries to stop it. And that is really, really scary.
Yeah, that reminds me of the allegory of the crabs in the bucket, the crab bucket, with if one crab is climbing up the bucket and is about to escape, the other ones will pull him back down. Right. And this leads me to question whether or not there are multiple reasons for the closing down of businesses. And I understand that in order for this fourth industrial revolution, this build back better, you've got to sort of destroy the current paradigm, which means small and medium sized businesses go away while Walmarts and Best Buy open with impunity. But I also have considered the fact that on top of that, or it might also be the reason why these bars are closed, bars and restaurants are closed, because that's a place where groups of people congregate and talk to one another. And it seems like they might not want us to be in the same room talking to one another, lest we be plotting against this madness.
Well, and then they also roll out all these restrictions on speech on social media so that you can't talk about vaccine hesitancy, for instance, or opposing mask mandates, or anything against the CDC guidelines. They made it very challenging for you to speak openly and honestly. Even for someone like me, who is opposed to all of this, I still have to craft my messaging very specifically to stay under the radar, to not get nuked off of Twitter or other social media platforms. And I think that, paired with the fact that we weren't allowed to congregate in places where we might plot, I don't know, actual insurrections, was not an accident, because that's exactly what I would have been doing over the past year had I been allowed to, because I was horrified at the tyranny I was living through. So yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, they have found a way to, you know, they'll silence us online, but then, and like you mentioned, we have to, if we want to continue to operate, we have to navigate that constantly changing set of rules and minefields, where one day I can say, early on social media, I could say, you don't need to wear masks, because Fauci was saying you don't need to wear masks. Then Fauci changes and says, you've got to wear masks. Now, if I go with the original thought, it'll get me thrown off.
Exactly.
And then Fauci says, you know, maybe we wear two masks. And so if you challenge the mask mandate at all, then they'll throw you off. But it's constantly changing. It's you can never tell, and it comes back in. Now you can say something, or I can say there's major problems with the AstraZeneca vaccine. I think people should maybe take a closer look at that. That'll get me thrown off. Then a month later, Washington Post runs a story about AstraZeneca vaccine is totally dangerous. Okay, do I get to come back in now?
Right.
Do you get to rescind my suspension or my expulsion from Twitter because of this? Because once again, what I was saying was factually true.
Exactly.
Even though you labeled it medical disability.
But you were early. early, so you can't say it. But think about the atmosphere that creates such indecision, such uncertainty that you just go, well, I don't really want to lose my account, so I'm just not going to talk about it. And that's really, I think, the goal is that it shuts you up because you're so concerned. And to your point about how the Fourth Industrial Revolution and how they're trying to get rid of small and medium-sized businesses, Jacobin Magazine, which is a socialist rag, it's complete trash, they ran this article yesterday where they were talking about it's basically, I forget what the title was, but it was basically like, it's time to stop, you know, defending small business. They don't pay benefits. They don't pay high wages. We don't need them. And it's like, you are propagandizing it on the behalf of megacorps. Like, you're a socialist. So, in truth, it lifts the veil. It shows what they're actually all about is because they can't control the small businesses as well as they can implement big business into the government yoke, and then they can control it through the government. So I think that's exactly right. I think that they are trying overtly to kill small and medium-sized business, and they are doing a damn good job at it.
Yeah, and it's so devious because when we're talking about censorship, the most horrific type of censorship is self-censorship. You can't quantify it, you know, and you get in, but if we're being strategic about things, we realize that we have to self-censor on a social media platform or even just talking with people that don't share a similar belief. You know, you have to kind of tone it down a little bit. So, because you know that they're looking for you to say something inflammatory. And so then you go about and you go, God, you know, I didn't say what I wanted to say.
Right.
And that is, you know, it's impossible to quantify that. There's a feeling you get when you know you had to keep your mouth shut when you didn't want to, that never feels good. And then when you point out actual things that are actually written, like that article in Jacobin Magazine, where you say, listen, this is what they're doing, you'll still get pushback from some people that say, what you're saying is violence or something. You're like, what? Yeah. I mean, it's like the inmates are running the asylum, and if you point that out, then they want to fit you for a straitjacket.
Well, yeah, exactly. Then they're like, well, you're a member of the asylum, just so you know.
Right.
I totally agree, man. I will say this. The only thing it's changed in me is, yes, I do self-censor on the internet because I've put a lot of time into building these platforms, and I would like to not have them evaporate overnight because I still want to get my message out to people and I can speak more honestly on my podcast, whereas on Twitter, I'll rephrase it or whatever. However, in real life, I go hard. Like, I do not, when I meet someone and they, you know, they're wearing a mask and they're a friend of mine, I'll just be like, hey, you don't need to be doing that. You know, you're young, you're healthy, you don't need to be doing it. And I'm trying in my own life to still maintain that sense of like raw honesty and truth and liberty, which is what my show is all about, to be honest with people, because I care about these people and I don't think that they need to live in fear for the rest of their lives like they're doing. Many of them vaccinated that are still rocking masks. And I'm just like, look, if you believe the science at all, which I don't even necessarily believe the science, quote unquote, but going along with your own thesis, take the fucking mask off. What are you doing? So I'll try and make it funny so that people are open to it. But otherwise, I'm still telling them the truth.
I know. I do the same thing. If people should incorporate Liberty Lockdown into their podcast diet as well.
They
should make sure you go over and subscribe and start getting on that train because, we're having to do this in a way that is, you know, if we're going to reach people and we're going to make the changes. I've tried various ways. I've tried to just sit somebody down and just verbally vomit all over them with a bunch of information, and that doesn't really work well. I've tried to explain things in a way that lays out exactly how scary things are, and sometimes that doesn't work very well. But the best method I've found it's to ask people questions, you know, like ask mm-hmm. the mask wearing people, why are you wearing this? You know, like get them talking about it so that it becomes a conversation and not like a monologue. And that is, and what I have found in my very, admittedly very limited interaction with the masked population, but I have had, you know, I've talked to some people about it. What I've found is that to my horror, they have not thought about this very much at all. It is all like reactionary and not right. very grounded in a well thought out plan. Have you noticed the same thing?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think people way overestimate the amount of research the alleged pro-science crowd has actually done. Yes. I think the skeptics are the real researchers. I think they're the real, like, they actually, you talk to them about, you know, cycle rates and all this stuff, and they're like, yeah, like, we all know what we're talking about here. You go talk to someone who's a pro-mask, pro-lockdown forever, pro-vaccinator, they're just like, did you hear what Fauci said? You know, like, that's the extent of their research. What did the nightly news tell me? And it's true. I mean, so much of it is, they don't even know what Fauci has said. They just know that the people that they get along with wear masks and they get vaccinated and they want to fit in. And it's a lot of it is just about being accepted. And as someone who's never much cared about being accepted, and I found that I have found my people by not being concerned with being accepted. So I've been accepted by not being interested in being accepted. Right. I just wish that more people could live that way. I think it's a much more holistic, healthy lifestyle. And I think that when you demonstrate that you're living freely and honestly, and you still have people around you that like you, more people feel free to do the same. And it's like, you could get this virtuous cycle of pursuing a more honest and open lifestyle. So that's been my goal here.
I agree. Yeah. When you walk in someplace without a mask, where their masks are mandatory and someone else sees you, you get there's three reactions. One, someone doesn't care one way or the other. Right. Two, they're furious at you for not wearing a mask. Or three, they feel inspired and they feel like, okay, fine, I'm not the only person. They take theirs down a little bit, or they take theirs off, or whatever. Right. And that is important to do. I mean, leading by example in this world is important. And I feel kind of the same way as you. I'm not accepted by the vast majority of people. I've had a lot of friends that don't, you know, they'll hang out with me, but they do not want to talk about the things that, right. that I want to talk about, because they know that we have conflicting opinions on that, which is totally fine, by the way. I'm not selling anything necessarily. I'm just trying to educate right. my friends and people close to me about what I have seen. And I think that the education component is the most important thing, because then you can take that information, process it, and then make your own decision. But if you're saying, I researched this, but you really just watched MSNBC, then you didn't research it. You right. just didn't. That's not reality. I mean, that's not real research.
No. And vast majority of people haven't done any research. And if you dig enough, they'll probably admit it. And if you can get them to admit that, okay, I don't actually know anything, then you can start to get them to maybe listen to what you have to say about it, because they might start to reflect on how much, what I always try and drive home is, do you remember how it felt in February of 2020? Can you even remember at this point what your life felt like, to wake up and to not have to think about what your governor might say you're allowed to do today? Do you remember that feeling? Did you value that feeling? Do you value it now? Are you interested in fighting to get it back? Like, I try and really, because it's incredible. The frog in the pot sensation of this has been really remarkable. And I think that's what the 15 days were all about, is they know if they get you to accept something for a couple weeks, it is so easy to just get it to persist. So I think that it's really important that people try and, you know, really remember and embrace that feeling of liberty, even though we were still slaves back in, you know, 2019, we were a hell of a lot more free slaves than we are now. So I think that it's really important just to try and remember what it was like. Try to remember what you lost. You know, what did they take from us? Like, get that emotion in it.
Yeah, it's okay to be mad about it. In February of 2020, 3 weeks before everything kicked off, I was in Mexico at an Acapulco and right. with a bunch of anarchists and freedom, liberty-minded people and interesting characters. And never did I imagine that it would, that we, you know, just a couple of weeks, like days later, it would all change. Right. And then, but it's been, you know, it's been a fascinating case study in psychology and herd, you know, the way the herd moves, the power of the media. God, you know, I mean, I get up on my soapbox and protest against the mainstream media just about every chance I get, but I have to stand in appreciation and awe of the job that they can do. I mean, they can take known, absolutely undeniable pathological liars like Brian Williams from NBC, not fire him, give him instead his own job, promote him to his own show, and then roll out lies that are backed by, you know, flimsy science at best, and yet everybody will do what they're told. Not everybody. A lot of people will do what they're told because it came from their television. And yet somebody with more authority, with better information, could deliver this message through, say, a YouTube video, and it's not thought of in the same way that it is if it comes from authoritative sources, as exactly. Google and YouTube like to call people. It's been fascinating, the psychology of how herds move, really.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a global trial on that exact topic. So we all learned a lot this past year. But I think what that really demonstrates is why they have every week, basically, they come up with Tucker Carlson's most controversial topic and they try to get him deplatformed. Right. Because regardless of what you feel about Tucker Carlson, he says some things that you're not allowed to say. And like total red line topics like vaccine concerns, or are the masks necessary, or is Fauci really reliable? Should we be listening to him? Like all of those topics, anytime he brings one of them up, they try to get him off the air. And the reason is not because of his ideas, because you can find way more dangerous and compelling ideas on YouTube or via podcasts, but it's because he reaches so many people. They need to hold that sense of authority and legitimacy that they get from having a monopoly on mainstream news outlets. And he is like the one guy that they can't get rid of. So
yeah,
let's hope they don't.
Yeah, and it's all theater, because yes. we see like you know, the Joe Biden and his wife picture with Jimmy Carter and his wife, and they're right next to each other. They're smiling for the picture. Nobody has a mask on. Then he right. walks out of the house and he's got the mask on. Back on. Like, really? Like, this is so trans. So the 90-year-old guy and his 90-year-old wife who are in the highest category to be compromised by this, you're just walking around no mask, but come outside in the, you know, in the sunshine with nobody around, got to have the mask on. To me, that just shows that it is all medical theater. And if it is medical theater, and if there is actually no science behind it, which there isn't, then there must be an agenda behind it. There must yes. be a reason for it. And if yes. they're going to these lengths and they're making these, I mean, I don't know if people have watched like a Joe Biden, like a press conference where somebody is at a podium speaking and then another person comes in and then Joe Biden finally comes in. There's a busybody that comes up and wipes everything down and, you know, with like right, medicated, right. you know, antibiotic or antibacterial wipes, and it wipes the microphone, wipes everything down. And I'm like, this is all theater. It's like theater of the absurd.
It is. And it's just an extrapolation of what we did after 9/11 with the TSA.
Yes.
It's theater.
Oh, exactly. Again.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And
take your shoes off.
And this is the reason I'm so concerned, is because is TSA anywhere near getting removed?
Still here. Hiring.
Yeah. We're 20 years later, folks. So when are we going to get, you know, the right to not wear a mask and to not, you know, have our colons checked when we go places? Like, I just want to make sure that people realize, if you don't demand that you get those freedoms back and you mean it and you actually mean it, they're not coming back.
No.
So that's why I always bring up the 9/11 stuff, because it's enough. And it's really a good comparison, because
yeah.
so it was such a, I mean, even if you buy the idea that we lost 500,000 people from COVID, well, then look at all the freedoms that we lost from the 3,000 people we lost on 9/11. Yeah. So like this justifies a level of tyranny that goes above TSA, NSA, Patriot Act, spying on all of our communications. They can justify anything if you have a, if you believe that 500,000 people died over the past year from this. So I just think that it's very important that we do not allow this trend to continue, because if you give up, if you allow the past 12 months to be our future, people like you and I can't, I don't know about you, but I'll just speak for myself. I can't exist in this country anymore. Yeah. I will absolutely have to flee. So
yeah, I'm with you, man. And I've had people, you know, early on when I was talking to some friends that aren't as versed in this stuff, that we were talking about the, you know, 15 days to flatten the curve and everything.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's going to just get extended and extended and extended. And they said, no, they said, listen, if we do it, like their response was, well, if people are breaking the rules and they're out and everything, then yeah, it'll probably get extended. But if we were to all really just kind of lock it down, then it won't, you know, then theoretically it should just be 15 days and then we go back. And my example was, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have to take your shoes off to get on an airplane?
Exactly.
If you go to the airport today, and they said, yeah. And I go, well, that's what's going to happen with this stuff. You think that's going away? It's never going away. I mean, the most absurd things, like a paper mask or a bandana around your face, is going to stop the spread of a fucking virus that can get through all that, is just as preposterous as having to take your shoes off before going through security because there might be explosives in your shoes. I mean, it is equally as retarded.
And I think it's even stupider. I mean, honestly, if you think that me talking to you like this is dangerous and me talking to you like this is all of a sudden a complete solution, it's a fix all, you're 100% safe, you're an idiot. You're an absolute fool. And I can't believe it. There's all you can see the air, all of everything comes out from the sides of these masks. We're not talking about N95. The fact that they never gave us any guidelines on the caliber of mask you had to wear. Right away, you should have known this was bullshit. Right away. Because it needed to be medical grade for there to be any added benefit whatsoever. And they never even concerned themselves with that. You could wear a fucking bandana. Are you kidding me? Come on. I'm sorry.
It felt like a litmus test, like for the show.
Right.
It felt like they were testing like AI algorithms or maybe facial recognition cameras, and they're like, let's see how many stupid people we have. And consequentially, as everybody is covering their face, those people, we're training the facial recognition AI cameras, right? Those people that are covering their face, we're not going to get a good shot at them, but it doesn't really matter because they're clearly going to do whatever the fuck we tell them to do anyway. So I don't care. The people that don't wear the masks are now a perfect target for the AI facial Holy recognition shit. Cameras. We'll just feed that information into Bluffdale, Utah. And then a couple of years from now, they'll be like, aren't you a guy that doesn't wear a mask when you do everything? And it'd be like, how did you know? Well,
oh my God.
Been watching you.
Charlie, you are brilliant. That
I'm
is
sorry.
The best.
I hate to go that way, but, but the first thing so I thought smart. Of was it's like, it, the first thing I thought of when they did all that was I thought of that scene in the movie Heat where the four guys go to the shipyard in Long Beach and they're pointing and they're looking around and they're doing all this stuff and the cops are spying on them with the binoculars and then they leave and the cops go down there and they go, what are they looking at? What were they looking at? And then Al Pacino realizes they're looking at us. Mm. And sure enough, they were taking pictures of the cops. And I thought, you know, what are they, what would they be looking for? Well, they'd be looking for us with our masks off. And it made me go to that place. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. What do you need facial recognition for? The people that are accepting your stupid moronic dictates? Like, you need to have the facial recognition on the people who are free thinking and are actually going like, hey, fuck these rules. I'm not doing this stuff. So that makes a ton of sense, man. That's horrifying. I might steal that idea for a tweet.
Please
later.
Do. Yeah, yeah. I don't have a monopoly on these ideas. These are just things that run through my twisted little head because I feel like sometimes you have to kind of allow yourself to think like a psychopath. And like, if I were a maniac trying to take over the world, how would I do this? And how you could do it in a way that didn't make you look like you were trying to depopulate would be to make it so that it looks like it was a natural thing. It's a virus. And you know, the bankers benefit because they're about to blow up the economy anyway. And they can just go, it wasn't us. It was, you know, it was the virus. Right. Or, you know, the eugenicists out there that are running this operation, they could say, well, nobody can blame us, because as long as they think it's just a natural virus that just happened to spread, well, they might be able to blame us for our poor response, which is baked into the equation, of course, but they can't blame us for making it, right? And so then you start to hear people talking about Fauci and his connections to the Wuhan laboratory and all this stuff. And it's like, well, maybe they are making it. I don't know.
Yeah, I am genuinely open to any sort of theories on this, because it is so, if it's all coincidental, it's more remarkable than if it's planned. Like, yeah. That's the truth. Like, this stuff is so sinister and so perfect, the way it's been rolled out and how it's been so just efficacious. Like, it has worked. They have gotten us to voluntarily give up our freedom and give up all power to allow them to print as much as they want, allow them to bail out as many of their you know, sycophantic business partners as they want. I mean, everything that you, if you were a tyrant, psychopath, there's this past 12 months has been a master class in how to do it. And yeah, I don't think it's an accident. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, and then we see things like the Event 201, and we see the SPARS document and Rockefeller's lockstep. And there's all this advanced knowledge, and these things tend to, they wind up happening coincidentally, just a lot like these scenarios. And there's only so many coincidences you can have before people start to go, well, you know what? There might be something to it. It's exactly. Weird to me though, that they didn't try harder to bury some of this stuff, because Event 201 was just right out in the open. And anybody that wanted to watch that video could watch the video and or read the SPARS document. Hell, right. It's still up on Johns Hopkins Medical Center's website. I mean, you can download it and read this thing. And in that SPARS document, it talks about how this thing would play out. And unfortunately, we're not at the end point of it yet. So we don't know if it's going to follow the script exactly. But there's far too many similarities for this thing to be anything other than orchestrated, in my opinion.
No, I think that's exactly right. Well, just out of curiosity, how does it play out at the end of that? For the Johns Hopkins study, do you remember?
Yeah, the SPARS document with Johns Hopkins is really focusing on the medical response in conjunction with the media, how the media and the medical industry work together to try to send the message out about this virus. Wow. And how it plays out is that the vaccine gets emergency authorization use, just like it did now. It starts rolling out in stages, just like it did. They use celebrities and rappers to push it. They use the controlled mainstream media to push it out as well. Then something changes about 9 months after the vaccines roll out. And that is a massive vaccine, massive amounts of vaccine related damage start to show up in people in the form of encephalitis, which is because in this scenario, they made the vaccine off of the base of the vaccine was taken from a vaccine that was used for cattle and livestock. And what it did in this scenario was they built off of that base and made these vaccines, and then it gave all the people mad cow disease.
Oh,
and
God.
and the people went and found the celebrities and the media personalities and all the politicians and the heads of the CDC and the heads of the FDA and all of them, and ran them out of society in this scenario.
Well, let's hope
what should happen.
Yeah,
but it laid the sort of the foundation for you know, I don't know if they talked about, I don't know specifically if they talked about how many people were impacted by this, but they said it was so many that it was like riots and protests and demanding that the government put way more money aside for helping these people. But it really didn't help them. It just covered some of the costs, some sort of damages. But the setup to it,
wow,
where we are in this scenario, has rolled out almost identical. So
that's incredible.
If it plays out in our timeline the same way it did in the simulated timeline, we should start to see those the massive amounts of vaccine damage hit sometime around October of 2021. And so if we do, and it was kind of like a delayed reaction in these vaccines where it didn't, I mean, yes, some people are falling over dead or dying a couple of days later, but it's not happening. It's not massive. But in this scenario, it's like lighting a fuse that takes 9 months to go off. And when it does go off, it creates a situation where people can't, they start having really bad cognitive decline where they can't remember what they're talking about, or they're working at a sandwich shop and you order a sandwich and they're making the sandwich and halfway through they can't tell the difference between olives and pickles, and they're just like, whoa. And the boss is like, you got to go home, buddy. And you're just like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it was like a dumbing down of society, and people recognized this and flipped out. And I was like, God damn, they're simulating this, you know?
That's like, incredible. And you know, it's interesting on the timeline, because that would be right around the next flu season, you know, like that. And I actually tend to believe that it's really dangerous for people to be getting the vaccine if they've already had COVID, because there's been studies that, like, if you have the antibodies and if you're young and healthy and you have a good immune system, then getting the vaccine is actually more dangerous than if you have a weak immune system. And that's why you've seen some of the more catastrophic side effects have been amongst young, healthy people in their 30s, for instance. So yeah. I think that you could see that, where if you have already had it and then you encounter it again, your body kind of goes into overdrive. I mean, it's possible. We'll see. Let's hope not. Jesus.
I hope not. Well, it's a crazy world we live in, and we're just trying to make sense of it all. We're trying to wake people up and get them thinking about these really difficult topics that, you know, look, I mean, nobody wants to talk about this. I mean, we have to talk about it because it's imperative, but I'd much rather be with you at Petco watching baseball this summer, you know, and just doing all that
stuff. My Padres look good, man. So let's try and make that happen.
I know exactly. Tell people where they can find you, where they can find your show, where they can find you on social media and everywhere you are.
Absolutely. I am at Liberty Lock Pod on Twitter. And then I am Liberty Lockdown on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, all of them. So Liberty Lockdown is the thing to search. I really appreciate you having me on, Charlie. I had a blast having you on my show. People love that episode. So I'm so glad we got to do it again.
I had a great time too. That's why our conversation, we had to stop it at some point, because
exactly.
You got to stop it. But I was like, we could have kept going. Well, here we did. We did it again. And we kept going. So thanks everybody for watching this episode. If you like it, please share it. Please go over to Liberty Lockdown and subscribe and start checking out Clint's stuff. It's really phenomenal. And we got to support like-minded people. Thanks everybody. Take care.